It's the Locked On Podcast Network. Local experts on the biggest stories.
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network, episode 422. My name is Sam Ekstrom, covering the Vikings for zonecoverage.com, on Twitter at Sam Ekstrom, on Instagram at Sam Ekstrom NFL. You can become a Zone Coverage member, just $2.99 per month. For 1 year, $23.99, all sorts of perks, gift cards, t-shirts, and plenty of Minnesota sports coverage, zonecoverage.com. Late start to the week. Hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. I spent mine in the devastating heat of Kansas City. My gosh, it was hot, and I think the Twin Cities got more of the same. Had a great time at a wedding there, got back Monday on the holiday, and this morning attended Vikings OTAs, and I strategically waited to make this an afternoon release so I could get to OTAs, report on everything that came out of there for you on this Wednesday show. But before we get into that, a word from one of our fine partners, Blue Chew and BlueChew.com. Talking to the guys here, do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? I'm sure you get my gist. Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence if you're ready to get intimate. It's BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. So right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com, get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On, to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. So the Vikings today continued OTA session number 2, and they were indoors. The rain pushed them inside for their first full indoor practice in the indoor turf facility. I'll tell you what, it's a little nicer than Winter Park. It's more spacious. It's grander. It's taller. You can punt inside there. I asked Mike Prefer about that. He was pretty pumped about it. All four corners were accessible. No makeshift film rooms set up in the corner of the field. It was a smooth operation, and it was, I thought, one of the more active practices we've seen so far. A lot of 11-on-11, good red zone sessions, passing sessions, 7-on-7 passing. It was a really enjoyable practice today to watch. I'll get the academic stuff out of the way, the injury report. Here's where the Vikings stand with injury. You've got about a tenth of the roster affected at the moment, and I think most of this is minor, probably nothing to be too concerned about. But 6 Vikings did not even participate in warm-ups. Stacy Coley, he hurt his right leg last Wednesday at OTAs. That's what has him out. The running back, Rock Thomas, not sure what's ailing him. Andrew Sandejo, undisclosed, not sure what's ailing him. Pat Elflein and Jeff Badette, they both got ankle injuries. And Everson Griffin appears to have a left knee ailment that he has a wrap on. He was doing a little bit of stretching, a little bit of running, but not too much at practice. Then you've got Dalvin Cook. He keeps progressing. He did individual drills with a helmet on, showed some good cutting ability, but then he went to the rehab station after that. Trey Matthews, the young safety, rehabbing. Tyler Conklin, the tight end, not sure what's ailing him, but for the second week in a row, he was rehabbing. Devontae Downs, he's got a knee injury, the 7th-round rookie. We knew about that, and he is still coming back from it. Did look like Laquon Treadwell was good to go. He was rehabbing last week. And Kyle Rudolph continues to get healthier. He was back on the field, it seemed like, as a full participant today. I loved the mic'd up segment And maybe you can still check it out at Vikings.com. They had Kirk Cousins mic'd up, I think it was on Tuesday, when they were practicing outside, and there's a pass he throws to Rudolph, and his remark was, it's like throwing to a mattress, because he's got this great catch radius, wingspan, good hands, and he just suctions everything in. And I asked Cousins about that today, and he said that it's important to figure out what Rudolph does well and to give him a chance. You know, he missed him today once in the red zone. The offense generally struggled in the red zone today, and one of the coaches said, well, you got to give Kyle a chance there because in all likelihood, he's going to haul it in. I thought Rudolph has had a really great last two seasons, and while he may not be the most athletic target in the world, he's a red zone security blanket, and he's been terrific inside the 20, had some awesome catches last year, including a great one against the Carolina Panthers from Case Keenum, and that touchdown in the NFC Championship game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Building that rapport between Cousins and his chief tight end will be key. So that's the injury update at Vikings OTAs. Everybody was accounted for. All 90 players were there, whether they were practicing or not, including Anthony Barr, the linebacker who held out last week, and we got some clarification on why. It was suspected that it was a contract issue, and that was true, though maybe it wasn't quite a holdout, more of a protective measure. I speculated last week that he was trying to make sure he didn't get hurt during a voluntary activity, and it turns out that was essentially correct. He was getting an injury insurance policy, and he claims that he wasn't planning on needing that. He had hoped to get a deal done before OTAs, which maybe tells you that Barr and the Vikings are negotiating. He says his agent is still in conversations with them, but Barr did not want to put his body at risk without some injury insurance. So the money situation with Barr is he's made 4 years worth of salary and he's due $12 million this coming year. Now that is guaranteed with injury because it's a fifth-year option. However, his future earnings would not be. So if Barr were to have a cataclysmic injury now, he'd be losing out on $30, $35, $40 million guaranteed, which is probably his next contract. And that's a big deal. So he's got to purchase, I assume, that injury insurance to protect himself, as he said, against future earnings. But he was back today. He said he's focused on the team and he was present back in his starting spot next to Eric Kendricks and Ben Gideon. Speaking of Kendricks, Vikings met with Michael Kendricks, the older brother of Eric, the former Eagle. He's also meeting with Oakland and Cleveland. Could he come in and play Ben Gideon's role? He's only 27 years old. Can't imagine that Ben Gideon is locked into that spot. Vikings obviously loved him last year. He was durable. He was effective, but Michael Kendricks would probably come pretty cheaply. And if the Vikings can offer him a starting role in the base, well, yeah, that might be a decent deal for Minnesota. And he's got the obvious family connection. Some rotational nuggets from today's practice. Starting offensive line, different than last week. Riley Reiff, left tackle, same. Nick Easton, center, same. They've got Mike Remmers, though, at the right guard spot. They move him from tackle to guard. Mike Zimmer alluded to that last week. Rashad Hill moving up from second team to first team right tackle. And at left guard, a rotation between Tom Compton and Danny Isadora. Where's the second round pick, Brian O'Neill? He was with the second team at right tackle. So through two OTAs, we haven't seen any indication the Vikings are even experimenting with Brian O'Neill with the first team. I guess it wouldn't shock me at some point to see them try that, but we may have to wait till training camp to see that rotation. We may need to see another injury perhaps to clear the way for him. And remember, the Vikings don't have Pat Elflein right now, so there's a ripple effect on all parts of the line with Easton moving from guard to center, Compton filling in at guard, and the interior line generally a little bit helter-skelter without your starting center. So he has not been doing much in terms of activity. I think the Vikings hope to have him back for training camp 2 months from now. But I don't think we're going to see him at mandatory minicamp or OTA number 3. Kicking competition today. It was heated and it was one-sided. It was Daniel Carlson, the rookie, emerging from the pack with a decisive win today over Kai Forbath, This is obviously one of the most trackable competitions in terms of performance, and we don't see every kick, but with the lights on today and the reporters there, Daniel Carlson went 5 for 5. He hit from 37, 42, 46, 53, and then 46 again in a hurry-up situation. Kai Forbath missed from 42 and then missed from 46 in the hurry-up situation. He went 3 for 5. Carlson went 5 for 5. That's the second straight week in which Carlson has won the head-to-head competition in front of reporters. You know, this would have been a conflicting situation if Forbath came in and outperformed Carlson, but fortunately, Carlson's making it easy. Mike Zimmer said last week that if one guy's way ahead of the other, we might cut the other one to ensure that just one guy's getting all the preseason reps, and they're getting to that point. They're getting to that position where I wouldn't be surprised if Kai Forbath doesn't last to training camp. I've speculated that in the past. I think it's unwise, honestly, to drag this on too long. Don't give Forbath the opportunity to psych out his opponent. And I mean, you've made the bed. You've drafted this guy in the fifth round. I think you have to lie in it now. He seems like he's holding up in a competition setting against Forbath, doesn't have the yips. If I'm the Vikings, I make that move sooner than later and just take any of the question marks out of it. Some other notes on certain positions and rotations that we observed today. We talked about the third running back competition, and Mac Brown appeared to have the lead today. He was the chief backup behind Latavius Murray. Remember, there's no Dalvin Cook, so the number two back was Mac Brown. Rock Thomas, one of the competitors there. Remember, he's out with an injury. So it's really between Mac Brown and Mike Boone. Good alliteration there. Mac Brown, Mike Boone, numbers 31 and 44, are competing for that third running back job, I believe. And today it was Brown getting the majority of the second team reps. Mike Hughes, the rookie, playing a lot of inside nickel corner. Also looking very comfortable in the punt return. And Mike Prefer, when I asked him, he said he's very comfortable in kick return. He's improving in punt return, and he's going to be able to compete for that job. So he's at least opening the door. Mike Hughes could win that job against Marcus Sherrills. And if that happens, it's probably goodbye Sherrills. I'd still make Sherrills favored, but I wouldn't rule it out that Mike Hughes comes in and takes it away from the longtime Viking Marcus Sherrills. Keep an eye on that one. Stephen Weatherly got some first-team reps in place of Everson Griffin. Anthony Harris got some first-team reps in lieu of Andrew Sendejo, who again was out with an injury. The Vikings also had a community service project today that we were welcome to attend, and it was a really fun time. We went to Friendly Hills Middle School in Mendota Heights, just about 2 miles away from the team's practice facility, where the Vikings held their Team Up to Give Back event. They actually were at three different middle schools today, and a lot of their brass went to Friendly Hills. Mike Zimmer there, Rick Spielman there, Eric Sugarman there, the Wilfs, Lester Bagley, and some of the premier players, Kirk Cousins, Sheldon Richardson, the newcomers were there, Stephon Diggs, Harrison Smith, Xavier Rhodes, and they put on a clinic for the kids. They had them running drills, had them running sprints, catching passes. Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman milling about, encouraging the kids in their middle school gym. I think the event actually got moved inside. I'm not sure it was going to be held inside, but the weather pushed it that way. But Mike Zimmer actually shared a story to us about when he was young. He got a chance to meet Gale Sayers, and that was transformative for him. And I plan on having a story up about that at zonecoverage.com a little bit later on. But Kirk Cousins also spoke at length about giving back to the community and the importance of that, and how he's starting to feel more comfortable with this community and with this team. And he continues to impress, I think, as a front-facing member of this organization. He's certainly the type of quarterback and the type of guy that is easy to trust as a fan listening. He's easy to believe in, I think, so far. And he's backing it up with a lot of outward leadership being shown on the field. He's animated. You know, he gets pumped up about things. He celebrates small victories. Today, during a red zone drill, he dove into the end zone on a scramble, even though he didn't have to. And that's the type of stuff I think that endears players and fans to a guy. And he said that when you're entering your seventh year in the league, you start to be more comfortable in your own skin. You can be yourself. You're not trying to fit a mold. You're not trying to blend into the background. You can be yourself. And I think Kirk Cousins is showing that, and he seems pretty comfortable in his new surroundings. Well, we want to get Sage on this week, and we will, I promise. Hopefully tomorrow. We had today a false start this morning because we wanted to get to the OTA before the show. So we didn't have Sage this afternoon, but stay tuned this week. Locked On Vikings, LockedOnVikings.com for all the latest. We should have, and on our next show, we can go over some of the position battles I've been writing about at ZoneCoverage.com. And maybe we'll have some Michael Kendricks confirmation. That's all coming up this week on Locked On Vikings. Thanks for listening.